This is 89.1 WEMU, and on today's Issues of the Environment, we're going to talk about Michigan's energy future. I'm David Fair, and through my interactions on environmental matters over the years, I've learned that many believe it is only liberals that have a commitment to clean, renewable energy sources and to freedom to determine our individual, neighborhood, and community energy decisions. It's not the case. My guest today is Ed Rivett, and Ed is Executive Director of the Michigan Conservative Energy Forum. And Ed, thank you so much for the time today. I do appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm not sure that all that many people are familiar with your nonprofit organization. What is the mission of the Michigan Conservative Energy Forum?
Well, I wouldn't suspect many people would be. We are a little bit unusual in the energy space, but our organization is committed to advancing clean advanced energy for Michigan in particular, although we're part of now a growing national network, to really help advance the clean and renewable energy and advanced energy economy. But we do it from a conservative perspective politically. We talk primarily about markets and innovation and job creation and those things, which completely overlap with where we are headed in our future when it comes to energy. But we certainly promote a balanced approach because we cannot turn off our gas plants tomorrow and rely on wind and solar. There has to be a transition. But, you know, we also have to recognize that vehicle electrification is coming. We need to be preparing our cities and our businesses and other people for charging infrastructure. There's a lot of transformation that's going to happen in the next decade, and we're committed to helping conservatives learn and understand about where the energy future is going.
Well, I mentioned public perception right at the outset when it comes to progressive energy policy. How would you characterize the public perception of Michigan Republicans when it comes to energy?
Well, you know, that depends, because you may talk about a legislator from a conservative rural district where there's been a lot of wind development. If you're familiar driving up 127 up the center of Michigan, you get to the Gratiot County area, Isabella County, you see wind turbines, or if you go up into the Thumb. And these are areas that are generally agricultural, rural, conservative political areas, but they have their own experience with renewable energy coming online. And so, you know, people have a variety of reactions to, say, something like that large scale, and also just in general, how are people reacting to things like, you know, electric vehicles are coming. You know, we're going to see a major transformation in that area. And what does it mean for people to be able to, say, put solar up on their farm or on their home or their residence and be connected to the grid, be part of, say, a net metering program? So I don't know what public perception might be with regard to how Republicans or conservatives address the issue, because I think they're all across the spectrum. There are probably still some conservatives and the like that, you know, may still be stuck in the drill, baby, drill. You know, it's all about fossil fuel. But I think those are folks that we're working to educate to say, let's just be aware of where the future's going and not be caught up in a philosophy or a perspective that's not, one, educated, and two, not forward-thinking.
Once again, you're listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. The other voice you hear this morning is Ed Rivett. Ed is Executive Director of the Michigan Conservative Energy Forum. Ed, there has been in the past three legislative sessions a package of so-called energy freedom bills introduced in Lansing. One, to allow hospitals and public safety departments and such entities to establish microgrids. Another, to require DTE and Consumers Energy to allow customers to join community renewable energy projects. And a third, that would encourage distributed generation by restoring net metering and establishing a fair value of solar level. Those measures as a package never made it out of a committee. Why?
Well, partly they were all grouped together, and each of those issues has a real level of complexity. And, you know, unfortunately, in a term limits era, we have legislators coming in who have no deep knowledge of the grid, energy policy, all those sorts of things. And so when we tried to talk about the subtleties of microgrids and community solar and distributed generation, it got to be too complicated. So what's happened in this current session is we've broken those out into three different items.
So community solar is the wind consideration of their own merit.
Yep. And so we can get some focus just on those particular issues. So the House has the kind of the lead bills on community solar and microgrid, and the Senate is first dealing with the distributed generation net metering issue. In fact, we're holding hearings pretty much we have every Tuesday now for about the last month, where all of the issues related to rooftop solar or just a net metering distributed generation is all being discussed in the Senate Energy Committee.
These are things that seem to make the utilities rather nervous, and they've been lobbying rather hard to make sure that these measures don't get adopted. Obviously, those lobbying efforts have been very successful, don't you think?
Well, they have, and part of the challenge is just education. Part of the challenge is also that the technology...
Don't you think utility leadership is already educated on the issues?
Oh, when I say education, I mean among the legislators who have to address the policies. Oh, no, the utilities are very well educated.
Right.
But part of it is we're dealing with technological evolutions from even 1 year to the next. So when we go in and we start talking about grid management, with more and more people, say, having rooftop solar or large-scale solar, well, the discussion we had 2 years ago compared to what we're having now in terms of smart inverters and smart grid technology and that sort of stuff, it's kind of a moving target.
And with that in mind, one of the concerns the utilities have raised is the ability to provide grid security. Is that a valid argument in your estimation?
Well, it is and it isn't, because with each and every year, these technological advances make it more manageable, more practical to be able to have anybody put up solar in almost any application. And the capacity for the grid to handle it, for the utilities to manage that as an asset, that's only increasing and getting more affordable and getting more reliable. So as time goes on, the argument about these things really becomes less and less valid.
Well, one of the arguments that is not discussed as much, the Public Service Commission essentially guarantees that the utilities will have a profit each year, yet DT and consumers are beholden to stockholders and increasing dividends. The utilities contend the marketplace will not bear those dividends under these proposed measures. In your estimation, is that a flawed argument?
Well, is it a flawed argument? Yeah, it's a flawed argument in the sense that and we as conservatives do promote a free market mentality. We would like to see competition brought into the electric market. That's a position that we've been taking. Yeah, the utilities work very hard to maintain their monopoly status, and that is problematic, I think, to having a robust discussion in Lansing, because when we talk about what value should I am a net metering customer. I own an 11 kilowatt solar system at my home. What's the fair value for any electricity that I put out on the grid? And that debate gets muddled by the fact that, well, the returns are all controlled by a regulatory process and a statutory requirement that there be a return on investment, et cetera. And so the forces of competition and innovation are absolutely blunted in terms of letting all this technology drive everything forward and ultimately make prices more competitive and, we believe, make energy cleaner at the same time.
Well, Ed, as our time together starts to wind down, I want to ask a final couple of questions here. In your opinion, if we do not pass the three measures that are now being considered on an individual basis, what are the repercussions?
The most important thing is we need to open up the opportunity for people to engage this technology, because people will do it for a variety of reasons, whether they're concerned about the environment and climate change, whether they just want to do their part, whether they want to reduce their bill every month by having their own generation, whether they want to contribute overall to a more diverse energy portfolio out there. It doesn't matter what the reasons are. What we need to do is facilitate those opportunities. And to the extent that government policy gets in the way, there's a very conservative theme. We want less regulation. We want more competition. We want more freedom of opportunity. That's one of the reasons we're in this space. And if we limit that, then we limit potential for not only clean energy and environmental benefits, we limit growth opportunities for small businesses and, you know, for people to take better control of their own energy and create some energy independence.
So if you and I have a conversation in December of 2020, later this year, as the legislative session is wrapping up for the year, What's your best guess as to where we'll be?
You know, a key part of the Senate bills that are being considered is just to lift the cap on residential solar and net metering solar customers, and it's really now under a different kind of payment structure under the distributed generation program. I would think that we will be successful in lifting that cap because right now the utilities are coming to a place where they don't have to accept any more of these types of customers. That's the debate on that policy. I think we'll be successful in that because if we don't lift the cap, then a lot of these small solar installing companies are going to basically go out of business. The legislature is extremely sensitive to that reality. They're not going to do anything that's going to choke off an industry and kill jobs. How far we do sorting through some of these other issues, hard to say, especially in an election year when the legislative process is a bit shortened because right. They go out and campaign a lot.
Thank you so much for the time and for the information, Ed. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Appreciate it very much, David.
That is Ed Rivett, Executive Director of the Michigan Conservative Energy Forum, our guest on issues of the environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and you hear it each Wednesday. If you'd like more information on our discussion today, or if you'd like to visit the Issues of the Environment archive, just head to our webpage at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.